AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The Scorpion Unit is no more. The five former officers accused of killing Tyree Nichols belong to Memphis's elite city crime unit, but Police Chief C.J. Davis says she's shutting it down. Activist Devontae Hill.
We're going to end up on the right side of history because we got a community that knows how to stick together. We've hired our first African-American female police director, and you can always count on a black woman to get in there and do the job.
Tyree Nichols!
That's for who?
Protesters have been out in Memphis and around the country, and they've been honoring the wishes of Tyree Nichols' family. CBS's Skylar Henry.
In Memphis, leaders praised the community's response to the disturbing police video showing the brutal beating of Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop.
Memphis, Tennessee, honored the memory of young Tyree Nichols with peaceful protests.
In the body cam footage released Friday night, officers are seen holding Nichols down and repeatedly hitting him with their fists, boots, and batons.
Former judge and police auditor LaDoris Cordell says what happened in Memphis could have happened anywhere.
This is not about five or eight bad apples. This is about a bad orchard. What I mean by that, we're talking about the culture of policing in America, and Memphis is not unique.
Nearly 2 years after a supermarket shooting in Colorado, the question is whether or not the accused gunman is competent to stand trial. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
It's been more than a year since 23-year-old Ahmad Al-Aliwi Aliza was first declared incompetent to stand trial in a shooting March 22, 2021. That shooting happened at a King Soopers grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. 10 people were killed, including a Boulder police officer. At a Friday hearing, the Boulder County District Attorney said he wanted the state hospital where Aliza is being treated to reevaluate his competency. But Aliza's attorney objected. Another hearing is set for April 28th. In the meantime, Aliza will remain at the state hospital without bond. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
In Israel. A moment of silence during protests in Tel Aviv, honoring 7 people killed and 5 wounded when a Palestinian gunman opened fire outside a synagogue in East Jerusalem. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the government response will include more moves to strengthen Jewish settlements on the West Bank. Utah's Republican Governor Spencer Cox has signed a law banning youths from receiving gender-affirming health care. The measure prohibits transgender surgery for youth and disallows hormone treatments for minors not yet diagnosed. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but how do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less, but the biggest payoff is improved health. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for snow. Lows level off around 5 above. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, highs around 12. Overcast tomorrow night, lows level off around 4 below. Dry with temps well below average Monday and Tuesday and highs near 0 to the low teens. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wing Day, Scream Face, Bloody Mary, Secondary, Jordan, Mean Face, A-Rod, got them all side, free play.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during the 1 o'clock hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And so now, we're going to talk about Packers this hour. And so for now, we're going to end this season with where we started it when it comes to Packers pundits. And we have welcomed back one of the most popular, one of the funniest, the one, the only, Aaron Nagler, founder of Cheesehead TV, is back with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. And so, you know, it was a roller coaster since the last time we had you on the show back in September.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute,
and
no doubt.
And I think we used our conversation for one of our promos for a while where I asked you, why are we so bad at the season opener? And you laughed. And then we proceeded to be bad at a lot of games over
just
the season.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't just the opener this time.
It was
nope.
just the opener. So I guess in your, you've written a lot about this, a lot. You have talked about it a lot and all the different segments that Cheesehead TV puts out, which if you've not checked out Cheesehead TV, definitely do that. But how would you sum up this season?
Well, you can't say anything other than it was a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you came into this season both, I think, as an organization and definitely as a fan base, expecting at least some kind of run, something that would resemble a contender. And this team was anything but. The only thing they did consistently was make things as hard as possible on themselves, week in and week out, game in and game out. Clearly, there's a lot to kind of unpack when you look at not just the loss of Davante Adams in the trade, what they did in the draft, and the kind of team they built heading into this season. But then you have their approach on both sides of the ball. You have Aaron Rodgers fracturing his thumb and playing through it for a good, you know, stretch of the season. And then you have the kind of the tease, I guess you'd call it, at the end of the season where you get that 4-game winning streak and you think, okay, they're figuring it out and they're playing their best ball against the Vikings. And you think, all right, this is the proverbial team nobody wants to face heading into the playoffs. And then they lay a gigantic egg against the Lions and really kind of reverted to form in that game. I don't think anyone was under any illusions, even when they were winning those games towards the end of the year, that this team was anything but flawed. I'm going to be a lot of soul searching, I think, at 1265 Lombardi this offseason, because there were a lot of assumptions made, I think, heading into 2022 that turned out not to be the case. And they can only look inward for that kind of coming up, the way they came up short so spectacularly.
And so it doesn't sound, in what you just said, it doesn't sound like you necessarily think there was one thing. It wasn't just the coaching. It wasn't just the gelling of the team.
It'd be easy if that was the case, right? If it ever was, if it ever is, that it makes it a lot easier to kind of diagnose and know what you're supposed to do going forward, whether as an organization, the coaching staff, what have you. But yeah, no, there were definitely layers to this thing. And, you know, now they're in this moment where they have to wait for Aaron Rodgers to make whatever decision he's going to make. And they put themselves in this position last offseason when they recommitted to him. You know, and I got to say, you look back at this season, the disappointment it was, where they were as a franchise last offseason seemed like, and many people thought, was the perfect time to kind of turn the page, so to speak. But they've recommitted to Aaron. And now they're pretty much at his mercy. If he wants to come back, I suspect he'll be back. And we'll probably see maybe a bit better kind of result, right? Again, he did play injured for much of the season. But I think we'll probably be here next offseason having a pretty similar conversation, watching a movie that ends pretty much the same way.
Ugh. Well, and Aaron, we don't actually expect Aaron Rodgers to show up like for training camp and stuff, do we?
Yeah, there it is. Well, training camp, yes. Training camp, he'll be there. But yeah, the off seasons. Well, look, here, somebody in my Twitter mentions said something I thought was pretty funny and somewhat, you know, all good, most good jokes have an ounce of truth in them. You know, you got to think Jordan Love is sitting here going, what in the hell do I have to do to get on the field? I mean, to sit for a fourth year as a backup, which essentially is what the Packers will most likely end up asking him to do. I wouldn't be surprised if both their quarterbacks don't want to come to OTAs. You know, they are voluntary. The off-season stuff is a voluntary activity outside of the mini camp portion, which is basically an extended weekend. If I'm Jordan Love and Rodgers does come back, I wouldn't be surprised if his camp says, okay, we want to trade. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the Packers have to do that. I suspect they wouldn't. I suspect they'd say, look, we have control. We can pick up your fifth-year option and have you under contract for two more years. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, though, because that is a dynamic that we never really had to deal with back when they made the transition from Favre to Rodgers, because on that third year, they finally did ship Brett out. The difference, of course, is that Brett wanted out, you know, and you know, that he was angling to get to Minnesota. Aaron has made it abundantly clear that he wants to retire as a Packer. He has said it over and over again. He said it again last summer. I mean, that has been his goal, is to retire and play for the same team, which I think is awesome. It's very cool. It's a very rare thing in today's kind of sports landscape, especially professionally. But man, it ties the Packers' hands with that contract that they signed him to. And now, like I said, you're facing probably a disgruntled former first-round pick who can't get on the field.
We're talking to Cheesehead TV co-founder Aaron Nagler, wrapping up the season, maybe making some predictions for next season. But I guess the thing with Aaron is, like, I watched that last game against the Lions, not whether it was stupidly or whatever. I didn't watch it thinking, oh, this could be his last game, until the interaction with him and Cobb at the end of the game. And I was like, oh, crap. Did I just not have the, like, emotional intelligence to realize that this could have been the last time? Did you have that at all watching that game?
You know, it's funny because we had discussed it on Cheesehead TV the week leading up, right? And every time someone tried to bring it up on my daily chats, I kind of shot it down because I just, you know, you don't want to, like, kind of view it through that prism, right? It's just a game. You've got to win. And all the other stuff, you've got all offseason to talk about it, right? So I guess I pushed it down. But I'm with you. I didn't really think about it during the game, but I certainly was thinking about it on that final drive, watching the offense come up short yet again, and then seeing Aaron put his arm around Randall Cobb, another player who's absolutely been a wonderful Green Bay Packer and absolutely represents everything the Packers organization is and should be about. To watch the two of them walk down that tunnel together and kind of have it hit you might be the last time we see both those guys on Lambeau Field. That's a bit, I'm not going to say a gut punch, but it's definitely a water to the face moment.
And it was kind of, because, you know, there's so much rhetoric around how, for lack of a better term, because we don't have that much time left, annoying Aaron Rodgers has been on his off-field antics. And so, but to kind of feel like, oh, the haircuts and the ayahuasca and everything, but then still feeling, for me, that nostalgia of, oh, shoot, maybe this is it. And so, but as you said, we now are in the offseason. So if you, Aaron Nagler, were the GM.
Oh, boy.
What would you do this offseason?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard given the contract they gave Aaron. Trading him, I really don't think is a viable option, because no team is really trading for that contract. Now, he could do stuff to kind of help out there, but they're still going to have to take a cap hit, blah, blah, blah. I just don't see that happening. I think they're kind of, and if I were GM, your hand is kind of tied here. I suspect, I welcome Aaron back if he wants to play. Maybe if I want to get creative and I'm Mark Murphy, or if I'm the GM, I go to Mark Murphy and say, can we maybe, because the Packers did this back in the day with Brett, you know, offer him some kind of marketing deal to retire. If I'm the GM, I'm trying to push that. I want Jordan Love on the field. It is time to turn the page, in my eyes. So I say to Mark Murphy, can we offer him a 10-year, $100 million marketing deal to retire? And then get Jordan Love on the field and start the next kind of chapter. I mean, personal appearances, things in and around the team.
Just play to his ego. Play to his ego. Yeah, he'll be right there.
You're banking on exactly what you were just talking about the connection with the team, the nostalgia with the fans, and everybody thanking him and wanting to be a part of everything he did for this organization. And look, you know, it's hard. It's always going to be hard when you transition away from an absolute legend, a first ballot Hall of Famer. But man, this 3 years in a row, we've watched this same movie with the same ending. It is time. I want to go see a new movie.
Yeah.
I want to start building something. And that's the other thing. The sooner you get Jordan Love on the field, the sooner he can start developing and getting better. And you can find out, well, if he's not the answer, then we know we have to go and find somebody else. But man, we being the Packers, keep hanging on, thinking we're going to find some other result here. If they were going to do it, they would have done it probably in 2020 or 2021. So for myself, if you're asking what I would do, that's the direction I would try to go. I mean, who really knows? But I think it's past time to turn that page.
And then what about, what is Joe Barry's fate? You think we're going to change up the defensive coordinator? And
I don't, actually. Okay. And I understand why Packers fans want him gone. I think there's ample kind of ammunition there, right? But look, Matt LaFleur moved on from Mike Pettine to go get his guy. And that is definitely Joe Barry. And I keep referencing this, but if people go back and watch the end of that Miami game on the game sealing interception by Rasul Douglas, Fox's cameras pan or cut to Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry on the sideline. And Matt LaFleur gives him a monster hug. And it was like kind of at that moment, I'm like, all right, yeah, Joe Barry isn't going anywhere. Like that's his guy, yeah. You know? And look, Joe Barry has his faults. They are laid bare for all to see pretty much week by week. But, you know, I somewhat begrudgingly have some respect for Matt in the sense of, look, I'm not just going to jettison this guy after 2 years just because, yes, we had some struggles and we certainly aren't where we want to be. But they did play well enough to win in a bunch of games this year where the offense just never showed up,
yeah,
including the win-or-go-home game against the Detroit Lions. So I understand Matt's thinking of, I don't want to overturn my staff every other season. I want to build some continuity here. Now, do they have to be better? No question about it. And that is on Matt. There are no more excuses, right? Like there was the whole, like Mike Pettine was kind of forced on him and tried to make that work. Well, then that didn't work. So he went to go get his guy. And now you gave him a little bit of a grace period. But man, I'm telling you, in 2023, it is all on Matt LaFleur because he has seemingly made it clear that this is his squad and this is who he wants to roll with on his coaching staff.
Aaron, can we please keep Mason Crosby? Just because I like him so much.
Why do you make me say these things that are going to get people upset? Because could they? Yeah, but will they? I doubt it. I mean, the man is a legend. He's an all-time Packer. No doubt. I mean, he's going to walk into the Packers Hall of Fame. I love Mason. You respect everything he's done for the franchise. But you are making him one of the more highly paid kickers in the league, and he can't kick it consistently into the end zone on kickoffs. You know, or you need a win-or-go-home kick, and Mason's been money, but routinely in the league now, you have guys hitting 60-yarders, yeah, and that's not Mason.
All right.
And I know it's Wisconsin in January.
We got to wrap up. Mr. Aaron Nagler, thank you so much for taking time out of your day today. We will talk more in the off season. Check out Cheesehead TV. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Oh, it's going to be a brighter day. There's going to be some changes tomorrow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. He's so fun.
He really is.
He's very good at
his job. I wish we could talk to him more often.
I know. Well, maybe now that's the off season. I don't know. We ran out of time, but I was going to ask him, what do you guys do now? Just write a bunch of things of like the predictions of what's going to happen in the off season?
Yeah, you dissect all last season and then you wait till August and you start looking forward.
Yeah. But what a fun job.
Yeah. And what an amazing thing he and his co-creator have created.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's the time of the show. It's kind of a moving segment, but we're trying to do this every day this month. The 100 Ways to Slightly Improve Your Life Without Really Trying, which is a list that was published by The Guardian. And each day we're going through around five of these suggestions and kind of giving our feedback on what feels reasonable to incorporate into our lives and what we're just not going to do.
It's not going to happen.
Like, did you take a cold shower this morning, Jane?
No. No. I did take a shower and actually...
You did take a shower.
I did take a shower. And I did actually think about it. And then I thought, I'm in my nice warm shower. Why would I turn on cold water?
I think that is part of it. I don't even like getting out of the shower when it's cold and making that transition from the hot shower to the air.
To the chilly air.
Let alone choosing to put cold water on myself. Yeah. And so...
No, not doing it.
That one, I don't know. Maybe. But all right. So we are on to number 46 through 50. Number 46. Read a poem every day, such as a poem. Keep that poem book. They suggest a poem for every day of the year. Just keep it by your bed.
That's nice. They don't have to be, you know, they're not all going to be multi-pages long.
No, some poems
some really short ones.
A poem for every day of the year.
That's nice.
Yeah. I could get on board with that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not doing so well on my goal of reading before bed instead of scrolling.
No.
Before bed, no.
You got to find the right book.
I think, yeah. I need, if you have suggestions on good novels, because I feel like most of the books I'm usually drawn to, big shock, are nonfiction books. But I feel like before bed, it's better to read a novel. So if you have suggestions of good books to read before bed, 844-967-2789.
To help you go to sleep.
To help you go to sleep. Yeah, just a good narrative. All right, number 47. Take out your headphones when walking. Listen to the world. This is a big Jane one.
I've been pushing this for a long time.
I've been better at that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you think it makes a difference? Or are you just bored now that you're not listening to your podcast?
It makes a difference. I would say I more reflect, you know, yeah, I would say it leaves more room for reflection if I'm not listening to civic media, whatever's airing when we're
right.
not on.
I think
go download the civic media app. This is a subtle plug.
But I think it's sometimes it's hard for people to be alone with their own thoughts. And that's why we have our headphones on all the time.
Well, I'm not necessarily good at silence. I'm someone who typically, I think I've plugged it before, but on nights where I can't fall asleep, instead of a white noise machine, there's this podcast called Sleep With Me, and it's a guy just droning on in this like very monotone voice, and it's not even him reading anything, it's just him rewatching Game of Thrones and adding his commentary, and it's each episode's about an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't know if I've ever, even in my most like anxiety ridden can't turn my brain off nights, I think it's almost always worked as far as putting me to sleep. And so
wow.
But even the background noise for me is always having music on, having podcast on, something like that, instead of just silence. I have not always been so good at embracing that, but I am getting better on walks of not necessarily having to
good for you.
Listen to something. Number 48, buy secondhand.
Love it. Big proponent.
Do you buy almost like more things like clothes? Like, where do you buy secondhand from when you're going to buy secondhand? Do you have any suggestions on?
There are some really good resale stores around. There's one in Wauwatosa. The name escapes me right now, but there are some really nice resale stores, and Goodwill is a wonderful resource.
I feel like we've gotten so used to the convenience of finding exactly what you need with a brand new thing, but also, like, so much of the brand new stuff is not made very well.
No, the quality is crappy.
Yeah, and so, but it also takes time. Like, what you save in money, sometimes you spend in energy and time to be thrifting.
But that can be the thrill of the hunt.
That's true. That's true. Second, a little bit like the first, number 49, buy in person instead of online.
It's hard. Like
it's,
you said,
it takes time.
It's so easy just to jump online.
As I'm trying to burnish, it's just, there's a thing of when you're trying to find the thing that fits in the right spot.
Right.
You can measure it in your home and you can measure it like, what does 27 inches look like versus eyeing it in the store? But I will say shopping for clothes in person, because you just can't tell what the material is.
Exactly.
So, and I'm not a big shopper for clothes in the first place. And so that's why I wear leggings every day, which you don't know at home because you can only, even if you're live streaming, you can only see my top. All right. Finally, for today, number 50, learn how to floss properly.
That is not a small thing.
Do you know how to floss properly?
I think I know how to floss properly. It's a matter of taking the time to do it.
And I think, you know, the other thing I have is the water pick.
Which is great. Those things are great.
Which has been great as far as some of the stuff that comes out of your mouth. You're like, oh.
How did that get there?
Didn't get that. But I feel like I recently heard some crowd work on a stand-up routine and someone was talking to like a dental hygienist and they were like, how many people don't floss? And she goes, everybody. Or maybe the question was, how many people actually floss? And she goes, nobody. And like, none of us are necessarily very good at this. But
unless you're a dental hygienist.
Unless you're a dental hygienist or maybe a dentist.
Yes.
But
I have a friend who's a dental hygienist who's a great flosser.
Great.
So if you need flossing tips, I'll talk to Mo.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, when we come back, it's National Bootlegger Day. So going back to the Packers topic, maybe have you heard the one of the red light district in Green Bay? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A brighter day. There gonna be some changes tomorrow. Gonna be a brighter day. This time you can believe.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for snow. Lows level off around 5 above. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, highs around 12. Overcast tomorrow night, lows level off around 4 below. Dry with temps well below average Monday and Tuesday and highs near 0 to the low teens. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
Glasses high with the best of scotch or rye. Let me hear your highball glasses clinking. Now let's drink a toast to the lad we love the most and the law that started people drinking. Here's to the 18th Amendment.
To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Nettner on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, which you can download in your app store, just Google or search for Civic Media. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, etc. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I did not know that we had a day to celebrate this, but here we go. It seems, and we're going to bring it back. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to bring it back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
But today is National Bootleggers Day. And so it's...
We're celebrating bootleggers?
I guess. So according to nationaltoday.com, National Bootleggers Day is celebrated on January 17th every year, and it's a combination of three different things. So it's the start of Prohibition in the U.S., the distillation of Templeton Rye whiskey, and the birthday of Al Capone. I guess today's Al Capone's birthday.
Okay.
And so, but I guess what makes it interesting is that all these three events are somewhat connected. And so it was the onset of Prohibition that promoted both Capone and farmers in Templeton, Iowa, to distill their own whiskey to sell. And this is how the famous Templeton Rye whiskey was born. And its popularity spread like wildfire during Prohibition. And so much so that it became Al Capone's favorite whiskey. And, you know, I thought this would be interesting to talk about because what month was that we had Cliff Crystal on?
This is quite a few months back. So, I think it was over the summer.
Was it over the summer?
Might have been.
I don't know. What is time? So Packers team historian Cliff Crystal joined us on the show, and he was talking about his books and his work as, you know, I think for a lot of people, that sounds like the dream job of being the Packers team historian. But one of the things he referenced on the show, which I had no idea, was Green Bay, the city, kind of disregard for the law when it came to Prohibition and how that bolstered the very early stages of the Green Bay Packers. So I think let's replay some of the story that he told on the show.
There were sections that I really enjoyed research, particularly enjoyed researching Prohibition and the effect that that had on the Packers' survival.
Oh,
I mean, in truth,
yeah.
Green Bay wasn't any different than towns like Canton and Rock Island that all lost their team. In fact, it was much smaller. Didn't draw any more fans, really, in those early years. But it was the favorite road trip for just about every team in the league, and that was largely because they didn't necessarily make much money coming to Green Bay, but Green Bay ignored the 18th Amendment. The bars never shut down. And it was at a thriving red light district on the north side of town.
Oh, so, a thriving red light district. And so this was brought back to the top of mind because WPR, Joel Schultz over at WPR kind of retold this story as I just figured we'd tell it again.
I don't think this is common knowledge.
I don't think it's common knowledge either. And I guess to a certain extent, it's not surprising. Like, it's like we've been drinkers in this state. But it's just the blatant disregard of, we're not going to do that.
We're not doing that.
So 13 years Prohibition lasted. And, you know, in Wisconsin, specifically in Green Bay, they didn't really want to adhere to that. So during Prohibition, many of the city's saloons were converted into soda establishments that continued to sell alcohol.
Let's go for a sarsaparilla.
And so it turns out that the city's reputation as a beer-loving place also was what, as Cliff said, helped the professional football team because so many teams wanted to players wanted to play there or the teams were very excited to play at Green Bay. And so, during this time, like, there were some breweries that got busted for selling alcohol. But a lot of them had, some of the breweries had arrangements with local taxi companies where the company would deliver their beer to customers in their homes. And so the NFL at that time, I feel like even in our lifetime, my lifetime, but certainly in your lifetime, I know that you're not a big sports ball fan, but you think about what cable television, like how much the NFL has grown in my lifetime and how much of that was fueled by TV deals.
Sure.
And I think I've told the story before as far as, even to this day, there's certain media markets where you can't necessarily get a Packers game, right? But before there was the NFL package and all these ways to watch the games, you know, large parts of the country, like you could only see the team that you could see.
That was local to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so even in the last 40 years how much the NFL has grown and how valuable all of it is now. But if you think about, you know, when all there was is a radio, like the NFL, like the football teams were just with their leather helmets and just like
no pads.
Like a volunteer firefighter yeah. squad, right?
Seriously, you look at some of those old pictures and you're not far off.
And so, you know, according to this is also in the article, and I don't think Cliff said this on the show, but like apparently the teams kind of scheduled their own games. Like there wasn't even a larger organization that was scheduling the games. It's almost like a club league. And so some would play 13 or 14 games and some would play like no more than like a handful. And so when the Packers joined the league in 1921, so a year after Prohibition, Green Bay was the second smallest city in the NFL. Today we're definitely the smallest. And some of the then small town teams were located in Ohio cities of Canton, Columbus, right. Dayton, and Akron, which he said. And so by the end of the decade, though, some of those small market teams folded for financial reasons, but not the Packers.
And now we know what it was that kept them going.
And one of the reasons was basically that Green Bay as a city ignored the 18th Amendment. And it was the most popular stop in the NFL, and teams would often try to schedule, since they were scheduling their own games, schedule games to be there for the bustling bar scene and the red light district.
Yes, yeah, and the brothels.
Cue Roxanne. And that, it's so funny, because whenever I think of the red light district, I think of Amsterdam. But, I mean, clearly there's still parts of different towns where, if you know what you're looking for, you can get it. But as far as it just being, well, yeah, that's like everyone just knows. That's where you go. That's where the working ladies are.
But there were sections like that in Milwaukee, too.
Where were they in Milwaukee?
Along the river. If we bring John Gerda back, and we probably should.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he is the historian that I heard talking about this, but oh, yes, there were brothels in Milwaukee, too.
I mean, I'm sure there was brothels everywhere. Like, the oldest profession, right? But it's so funny to think of what, and that's maybe either a Gerda or a Cliff Crystal question, as far as, because prostitution hasn't necessarily gone away, but the district has, you know? And so it's funny to think of what, and it's also funny to think of like, oh, it was down by the river, which now is, you know, very expensive real estate.
And very pricey, right.
That was where the people got, I thought about this, there is a shanty town in Puerto Rico called La Perla, which now became famous after Despacito, the very popular song from, I think it was 2016, Justin Bieber. And it's a shanty town. It was a part of, like, in when the Spanish took over Puerto Rico, the Spanish law was certain people couldn't live inside the city walls. So the city walls of San Juan. And so that's where the outside of city walls is where the cemetery is. It was where like meat, like slaughterhouses were. And it was also where people of color, like black people had to live. And certainly, and then for a long time, and it's still not safe, but it's safer because there's been more efforts. And because of that music video, tourists like me sometimes want to go see it. But you think about it, and it is prime real estate because it's on the water. It's outside of the city walls,
city
but it
proper.
Is like right on the water. So it's like, as you say, the thing about the river, and that was where you kind of just got pushed, like the
but that's
misfits
where,
got pushed out to.
That's where the dock workers were. And that's where the ships came in. And so I'm sure you had bars there too. And
it wasn't by Jones Island?
No. Not as I recall. I don't think so, no.
So anyway, so back to the Packers story. So when a Milwaukee Journal reporter came to Green Bay to write a story about the city's disregard for the laws disallowing alcohol consumption, the reporter's conclusion was that, quote, this northern city is by far the wettest spot in Wisconsin. And I just think it's so funny that disregard for alcohol,
for the law,
part of the reason why we still have the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, think about it. Would the team even still be here? Because look at what happened to those teams in Ohio. Those little clubs that all, a decade later, while Prohibition was still going on, they were all out of business.
Well, especially because at that point, because Green Bay is now what? Our third biggest? I always forget which order, because Milwaukee's the largest.
Milwaukee, then Madison.
And then I forget the order of like Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay, Eau Claire, like what the population is. I think Green Bay is the third biggest now. But at that point, both Superior and Oshkosh were bigger.
Wow.
So it was not nearly, it was not one of our biggest cities back then.
Well, and isn't it funny then, if it was that small, that they divided it down into sides?
I know.
They had a north side, really? Was it that far? Couldn't you see it from your room on the south side?
But it's so, I always think about whenever we talk about Prohibition, and I think we're starting to get there, but there hasn't been just, because of course I'm going to bring this back to weed. As we now, it's super decriminalized as far as, but it's not legal. And everyone just kind of, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And in not all parts of Wisconsin, but most cities in Wisconsin just don't take it seriously. As far as
just don't make it too egregious.
Yes. And of just the historic, like what historical legacy will the prohibition of weed leave us 100 years from now when people look back? Because I'm sure 100 years from now, if the earth is still inhabitable, we will have legal marijuana, considering we're on the precipice of legalizing psychedelics, which seems... like it's happening. It's happening in certain states already.
I know.
And so, but it's just to think of stories like this where had Prohibition not happened, would the Packers have survived? I don't know. So thus we celebrate National Bootleggers Day.
Why not?
Have you had moonshine?
I have never had moonshine, but when we were in Georgia, we had some really, really, really raw brandy once. It was young.
It was young.
Yeah, like yesterday.
How long is brandy supposed to age for?
Not just a day, I'm pretty sure.
That's not like vodka where you can just mass produce it.
No, this was,
pump it out quickly.
Ooh, you could remove paint. And I'm sure some of that bootleg stuff was...
Well, it made people go, so for some people, it made them go blind.
Yeah, it was deadly in some instances, too.
But
because you didn't know what you were necessarily getting.
Yeah. But this is a fast, like, I think, because I think I said this before, it's also tied to the popularity of fish fries and taverns needing to stay open and survive Prohibition and how cheap fish was and how all the Catholics obviously needed to have a fish option. And so, you know, sliding through the laws, if you got your fish, then you got a beer. All right. Well, we're about going to wrap up the show when we come back. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's cold, just as long as there's a throat for what just come off the boat. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You never give me your money. You only give me your funny paper.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder as we come to the end of our Thursday show that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic that you think we should cover, have an idea for a guest we should have on, or have some just general feedback for Jane and I, you can, Jane and me, that's my one grammatical thing.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen,
you know,
and me.
You know, the trick with that is when you say, what, like when you take the other person out, it would be, if you have any feedback for I, wouldn't make sense. Feedback for me. So then it becomes, if you have any feedback for Jane and me.
That might help. Yeah. Except now I'm going to have to stop and think every time I want to do that.
I know.
Just sounds grammatically wrong.
I know. But I digress. If you have feedback, as goes Wisconsin, at civicmedia.us.
Let us know.
I actually have, because I'll tell this story. So also follow us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. They're all a little different as far as what gets posted where. A lot of the videos, certainly on, you can watch the live stream if you're interested in what Jane and I do at the commercial break. You can watch.
Sometimes there are things that happen go on behind the scenes.
But you can always, on our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, and Twitter, we stream the show. Certainly on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, kind of the shorter videos that I make that sum up. Are the shorter versions of some of the topics we talk about here, sometimes with a fun lip sync or dance. My one that I made last night, I was dancing.
Where are you?
Did I send this to you?
You didn't.
It was about gerrymandering, shocker.
The gerrymandered dance.
The gerrymandered dance. But I had someone respond or someone commented on a video that I made a couple weeks ago now about the trains. And a train, the conversation being restarted on the train connecting Madison and Milwaukee. And someone had said and made the comment that they felt that sometimes I forget that there are other parts of the state. And I will admit, sometimes as someone who's from Madison and lives in Milwaukee, obviously now we work in Waukesha, you know.
Southeast Wisconsin.
And so to a certain extent, without living in certain places, it's hard to know without the local reporting that's happening there, what's happening. And so I responded to that and just said, listen, I want to cover other stories. So let us know. And I got a ton of comments. So that's one of the things I'm working on this weekend, is going through and vetting out the stories that people are saying. A lot of it was different school boards, roads, I think some solar panel stuff.
Great.
So kind of looking at some of the suggestions that we got across the comment section and DMs, because I think there's some gold there that may or may not have been covered so far. So same thing to all of you who are listening right now. If there's things, light things, human interest things, or more serious things that you think we should be talking about, as goes Wisconsin at civicmedia.us. Got another promo. We got to talk about the $1 million ad giveaway.
We do. It's a week from today.
Week from today. Mark your calendars. January 26th, Thursday, 9 a.m. If you are a small business owner, or you have a friend who is a small business owner who would benefit from having some advertising on the radio. Now, granted, Civic Media right now is statewide. As you hear when I say in the morning, we're in Amory up in northwest Wisconsin. We're in Wausau in Wisconsin Rapids in central Wisconsin. We're in Richland Center over in the Driftless region. We're in Oshkosh. We're in Waukesha, which covers basically
down to Racine, Kenosha.
Yeah, all of like southeastern Wisconsin. And we're also in Madison. And so if you have a small business that functions in any part of those regions or across the state, this is a great opportunity for you to get your message and business on air and try to reach a new audience. And so there's no catch. Literally all you have to do is go to civicmedia.us/million next week, Thursday,
starting at 9 a.m.
You can go there now and sign up to get yourself a reminder. If you're like me and maybe forget, come Thursday, but that's the website. Once you get there, you're going to have a application you fill out. And then from there, our sales team will be working hard to process all of the applications. This is such a good deal that I would imagine there's going to be a lot of them. And even if you've never done a radio ad before, we will work with you to help you figure out what the message is. We will record it. And if it works for you, there may be a sales pitch after the fact, but there's no catch in the upfront part of it. So, but this is the important part.
It's all about us.
It's all about us. I mean, truly, let's be honest. It's two theater kids. Of course, it's all about
Kristen
us.
Kristen and me.
When you fill out the application, there's going to be a question of who sent you or how did you hear about this? And I need you to say Jane and Kristen on As Goes Wisconsin. So like the most important part, maybe not the most important, but it's the most important.
Oh, that's important to us.
And so check it out. Let us help you. And I'm really excited to see also the variety of businesses that are going to be able to take part in this.
Absolutely. And we have a whole team. We have sales reps and a sales manager and creative people. And mm-hmm. So if you think this is a little daunting, and that's why they're there to help you figure out, you know, what's your biggest need? How can we help you address that need and get the word out about you? So
totally
take advantage of it. Seriously.
And then tomorrow we have one more show for the week. I can't believe how quickly January is.
It's gone. Hasn't it though?
Yeah. Bye. But I'm excited because in the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow, Matt Miller from On Milwaukee is going to be here because we haven't talked to him for a while. The end of 2022 for us was a little, you know,
we both got sick
for 2 weeks, then we were sick and it was the holidays. And so some of these regular guests that we love having, that schedule got a little screwed up, but he's going to be back as the entertainment guru that he is because the Oscar nominations are coming up. And I have not done a great job of, since the Golden Globes, watching a lot of the movies that I went. Which one did you watch?
I watched two of them. Okay. And I really want to ask Matt about this because I think there's something wrong with me. So I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once and The Banshees of Inverness.
And you didn't?
I have mixed feelings about both of them. They were both Golden Globe winners in some categories or other.
Uh-huh.
But I am not getting everything. Maybe I'm too old.
Wow.
Maybe I'm just not smart enough.
Because have you heard of or watched The Menu yet?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay.
It was horrible.
So we watched it Sunday, and I liked it. Now I've opened a can of worms. I only got a minute left before we got to wrap up the show. Maybe we'll save this for tomorrow. Maybe this is part of the thing with Matt tomorrow.
Sure.
So we'll talk about the Oscar nominations, and we'll also talk about some of the movies that may or may not have gone over our head. Or is it okay that we just didn't like them, and it's not that we're stupid and we didn't understand it, right? All right. Well, I only got a couple seconds, so stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Unless you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you got the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for listening and texting and calling. We'll be back for our Friday show, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the
poem that we all know, the famous Ride. The poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. It's been a day of demonstrations around the country. Baltimore protesters among those demanding changes in policing, and now there's been a big one in Memphis. The former officers accused of kicking and beating Tyree Nichols belong to the Scorpion City Crime Unit, but now it's been shut down. Reporter Chris Fox.
Protesters peacefully marching down Beale Street in downtown Memphis. They want justice for Tyree Nichols. Local activists called the deactivation of the Scorpion Unit a positive first step. Paul Young is the president of the Downtown Commission and candidate for mayor.
We had individuals who acted bad, who did not follow proper protocol. We want to root those individuals out.
Activist Deontay Hill says the video is shocking, but not a surprise.
Those things happen to black men every single day.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Memphis.
In Harlem, the Reverend Al Sharpton compares what happened in Memphis to the 1991 police beating of Rodney King in Los Angeles.
I'm seeing another black man being beat to death. Rodney didn't die. This is worse. It's beat to death with no mercy on no crime that they can even find that he had committed.
Sharpton will deliver the eulogy at Tyree Nichols' funeral Wednesday. Former president and current presidential candidate Donald Trump has been talking to New Hampshire Republicans at their annual meeting, but one Republican whose support he may not want is George Santos, the New York congressman, accused of a long list of lies exposed after his election.
Well, I think it's a terrible situation. It's very unfortunate. He's thrown some whoppers.
Santos has said he's not resigning his seat. In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promises his security cabinet that there will be a strong, swift, and precise response, including punitive measures against Palestinians. That comes a day after a Palestinian gunman killed 7 and wounded 5 outside a synagogue in East Jerusalem. In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky is livid after the International Olympic Committee said it would allow Russian and Belarusian athletes to compete in next year's games. The IOC says teams will officially be classified as neutral. Here in Central Florida, an alligator known for his grumpiness has died. Chester was a rescue gator who lived at Gatorland near Orlando, rescued after people fed him in the wild, which is illegal. His caregivers say he lost his fear of people, and the attraction was allowed to take him in. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.